From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to you, America, and hope you're doing great wherever you are across America. Wow, we've got a lot of ground to cover today, and I'm calling an audible, and I want to talk about a story that's developing out of Loudoun County, Virginia. And there is also another story out of Oregon, and they both tie in together. And I came into the studios prepared to discuss something which we will discuss in just a few moments. But I wanted to start out with this story because it seems to me that this is becoming a bigger issue every single day, especially on American school campuses. This story from Loudoun County, Virginia, where three high school boys are now facing an investigation. Now, these boys, they did not cause any sort of vandalism on their campus. They did not bully anybody. They did not beat up anybody. They did not skip school or disrespect a teacher. No, these are three good Christian boys, high school boys, and they discovered one day there was a female student using the boys' locker room, and these young boys felt very uncomfortable about that. So now we understand the Loudoun County School Board has launched an investigation, not into the girl using the boys' locker room, but they opened an investigation. And by the way, this is a state investigation into these boys. It is a Title IX investigation. And the allegation is that these boys committed sexual harassment after they said they felt uncomfortable with the fact there was a girl in the boys' locker room. And the parents are beside themselves. They're like, wait a second, our sons did the right thing here. And again, this happening in Loudoun County, Virginia. I want to play some audio here. This is from a local news report from ABC 7. Take a listen.
We're concerned.
This Virginia father tells 7 News Loudoun County Public Schools is formally investigating whether his son committed sexual harassment after he and his two friends talked about being uncomfortable with the fact that there was a girl in the boys' locker room.
He was questioning why there was a female in the male's locker room.
The dad says a female student who identifies as a male has been using the boys' locker room for some time now. In March, after gym class, the female student used a phone to record his son and his friends in the Stonebridge High School boys' locker room.
I believe that is an invasion of their privacy.
According to LCPS's own policy, video and audio recordings are prohibited in school locker rooms. But it's his son, not the student that shot it, who is facing serious consequences because of that recording.
Yeah, I don't think my son should be punished for expressing his First Amendment right and being able to ask questions. And the other boys were uncomfortable. And there was other boys and they're asking the same question. And it created a very uncomfortable situation. I think they're young. They're 15 years old. They're expressing their opinions. And now they're being targeted for expressing those opinions.
He wants LCPS to dismiss the Title IX complaint against the boys. He also believes LCPS should reverse the policy that allows students to use bathrooms and locker rooms based on their chosen gender identity. A controversial policy that put LCPS in the national spotlight after a boy sexually assaulted a girl in a Stonebridge High School girls' bathroom a few years ago. Other locker room issues in LCPS have sparked parent and student protests against Policy 8040, which the school board says is intended to be inclusive to non-binary and transgender students. Today, Loudoun County is one of 5 Northern Virginia school districts being investigated by the U.S. Department of Education for possible Title IX violations because of this policy. Another reason the family I spoke to thinks this investigation should be dropped.
They've gotten a clear message from the president that this shouldn't be an issue. And now that they're dealing with it and the fact that he can't express himself, it's very confusing.
It is very confusing to me and very troubling that these young men are facing some sort of an investigation. Now, the Attorney General of Virginia, who happens to be a Republican, was quick to respond. The school district is radio silent, by the way. They're not responding to anybody. But the Virginia Attorney General posted a statement saying this is exactly why these schools should be adopting Governor Youngkin's model policies. I find myself to be, it's outrageous that these young boys presumably felt uncomfortable. They're 15 years old. We were all teenagers at one point. I can't imagine how uncomfortable it would be to have a member of the opposite sex in the locker room where people were obviously changing clothes. He says these young boys are being treated as perpetrators when they are actually the victims in all of this. And I think this is a valid point the Attorney General raises here. I mean, these young boys, at least it seems to me, are the victims. And quite frankly, we hear this a lot on the female side, where you have boys identifying as girls trying to get into the girls' locker room. So here you have a case of a girl pretending to be a boy to get into the girls' locker or the boys' locker room. And so that brings me to another story out in Virginia. This is in Fern Ridge, the Fern Ridge School District. And this is mind-blowing. But the fifth graders are all going on a camping trip. And it turned, the parents discovered by accident that the camp counselors are transgender. And the camp counselors are going to be able to stay in whatever cabins they identify with. And so a lot of parents said, well, wait a second. Yeah, we don't feel good about this. This is kind of weird. And the parents are raising a stink. One dad telling a television station, KVAL, the CBS affiliate, I don't think it's healthy for the campers because basically you've got a biological adult female pretending to be a boy in there trying to teach these kids right from wrong. Other parents agreed. Well, the school superintendent, a guy by the name of Gary Carpenter from Fern Ridge, said, well, how dare you question the gender identities of these counselors? It's borderline discrimination. He says, I don't send something out that says if you don't want to be in the cabin with a Hispanic kid or someone who has undocumented parents or an African-American kid or a gay kid, I'm just singling out this one thing. And the only reason we're doing this is because it's a new thing. I see us not continuing to do that in the years to come. So the superintendent says, yeah, we're not, if the transgender people want to be in the boys' cabin or the girls' cabin, have at it. So they don't see that this is a big problem at all. This is insane. Jennifer Gett has had two of her three children already attend the camp. She says at the parent meeting directly, I said, can you guarantee that students will be in cabins with other students and counselors of the same biological sex? And again, the superintendent says, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to let the transgender people decide for you. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we're talking about fifth graders. Fifth graders. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not getting any better. And here's my problem I've got now with the Trump administration. Why aren't we defunding these school districts? Why aren't we doing that? That was the promise, to defund all of these school districts that are advancing these radical sex and gender policies. We need to be starting right now. We've got two. Let's go with Loudoun County. Let's go with the Fern Ridge School District here, and let's defund them. What are we waiting for? Ladies and gentlemen, what are we waiting for? And this is a broader concern about Republican ideology in Capitol Hill. I'm hearing a lot of great stuff coming out about these executive orders, but aside from the DOGE committee, we're not seeing anything codified and we're not seeing any follow through. And that is my concern. If we end up at the midterm elections and there has been zero follow through, we are in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen, big trouble. So I say, let's start playing hardball here. By the way, I'm just going to mention this, and I know it's going to, every time I mention this, it angers Trump world. But again, Pam Bondi said that the Epstein files were literally sitting on her desk, and yet we still have yet to see the files. What are they waiting on? What are they waiting for? 901-260-5926. Do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, the Trump administration starts, they've got to start playing hardball here? 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not By Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/starns. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And again, look, this is a matter of protecting kids. That's all this is. And it just seems to me if the federal government is not going to step in and do what they say, then parents, you've got to step in and you've got to take measures to make sure that your kids are protected from this freak show out there, because that's really what's going on. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to give you an example. So we're going to play some audio from Sherry Roberts. She is a state representative in Rhode Island. And she's addressing a group of lawmakers and school board people. And she's very concerned about some of these explicit images that she found in school library books. Take a listen.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. Before I begin my testimony, I'd like to draw your attention first to a 5-page packet of child sexual depictions via both drawings and very lewd descriptive writings. Could we please just show this to the committee members, please?
Is that actual?
Wait.
Is that actual images? Is that like...
Yes.
Yeah, you can't distribute
it. That's contraband.
Yeah. To distribute it would be a crime, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Well, I thought that it was okay because I remember the police in here showing pictures when they were trying to pass some legislation before. Mm. And they showed some graphic pictures to people on the committee. So I thought that that was okay to bring into committee.
I don't know what it is, but out of an abundance of caution, I don't want to put you in a position to have somebody criticize you for that.
That's fine. This is, anyway, it was one sample of many currently being marketed to a target audience of children. So obviously, if I shouldn't be showing it here, it probably shouldn't be marketed to children.
Yeah.
So it is being made available to them.
I like this lady. Her name is Sherry Roberts. She's a Republican lawmaker from Rhode Island. And this woman illustrated the perversion that is happening in public schools there in Rhode Island. So she was sponsoring a bill to protect kids from porn in school. And as part of this, she was presenting the examples of what she was talking about. All right, these are some of the explicit, sexually explicit pornographic drawings that are in books currently available in schools. And you heard the Democrats. They said, whoa. We can't be seeing any of this stuff. This is criminal. You can, if you pass this information out to anybody, that is contraband. You could go to jail for that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a simple question here. If in fact it is so pornographic and it is so so disgusting and so explicit that you can't show the material to grown adults, why are we exposing our children to this? Anybody want to explain that? And by the way, if it's criminal, they were looking for, and hear me on this, if Ms. Roberts had distributed this information to the other lawmakers, she would have been arrested and she would have been charged with a crime. So here's my question for you good people in Rhode Island. Why are you not arresting the teachers and the librarians that are exposing your children to this sort of perversion? Why are you not doing that? But it goes back to something that we talked about in the first segment of the show, that the Trump administration has issued executive orders. All of this stuff is now against the law. So why is it that we aren't going in and defunding the schools, the entire school system in Rhode Island? If they're not going to protect kids, yank all their funding. Loudoun County, Virginia, if they're not going to protect the children there from these perverted people, then pull all of their funding. Same thing goes for the school district in Oregon. I just don't understand why it is so difficult for people to understand what's going on here. But this, to me, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest story of the year. And the reason why is it goes to the very fabric of who we are as a people. Do you believe that God created male and female? And if you don't, well, guess what? We've got a sex and gender free-for-all going on right now. That's what's happening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, this crazy story out of Seattle. And folks, it's just unbelievable. Antifa has taken over the University of Washington. The entire campus has been overrun by Antifa. They had police there. The police were armed with megaphones, and the police were saying, if you do not disperse, we will arrest you. So you know what they did? They set fire to things, and then they started fighting with the police, and the police ran away. And I guarantee you the police were told to stand down. The police in Seattle, I guarantee you, were told, do not engage. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if we are not going to stand up and do the right thing on places like the University of Washington campus, there is no hope. I'm just telling you. I mean, that's just really the way it is. Some of the images coming out last night, they were setting fires. They were fighting, literally beating up and chasing police officers. Can you imagine being a student on the campus of the University of Washington and realizing that there's nobody there to help you? There are no police there to help you. Antifa is literally taking over your campus, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It's just unbelievable. I can tell you, and well, I would like to tell you, that if something like that would have happened at a Southern university, that the police would have hauled out the guns, they would have hauled out the tasers, the water cannons, and they would have done whatever it takes to restore law and order on campus. But maybe we just think differently here in the South. But for the police to, I mean, the police clearly were told to stand down and retreat, which is exactly what they did. And our good friend over in Seattle, Andy Ngo, did a terrific job of reporting on the damage out there. It is just unbelievable what Antifa has been able to do out there. Just unbelievable. All right, again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to toddstearns.com in the break, ladies and gentlemen. All sorts of great content for you to check out there. You can also download our free podcast and our free newsletter as well. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, CNN, they have lost their ever-loving minds. They're all very upset because the president, and I actually like this idea, the president wants to recognize and celebrate the victory we had over World War I and World War II, which is something that we're not doing currently. And so the president, a big fan of doing that. Also, the president's birthday is coinciding with the 250th anniversary of the Army. And the media is just all in a tizzy over this. Cut number four.
The things that animate him about what he really gets excited about. It is about branding. It is about imagery. It is about kind of this nationalism. The fact that they're going to consider, or probably, I guess now, really have this military parade. We don't need a military parade. We don't need to spend millions or maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. But we want to do it because he has to feed his inner image monster.
He said it himself. He wants,
Are you guys against the military
movie
plane?
Maker. Love the military.
$100 million
$100 million
You cannot be cutting tens of thousands of federal workers at the same time you say we're going to waste money on a military parade.
Why is it wasting?
It is wasteful.
Why?
What do we need to show off our military for? But that strongmen do that. It has nothing to do with pride in the military. Strongmen do that because they want to make their citizens cower. They want to say, we are strong. I am here. I have all these weapons. Aren't you proud of me? We don't need to do that. We know that our military is, you know, multiples the size of anybody else's military on the planet. We don't need them to bring the missiles down Pennsylvania Avenue in order for us to know
about,
that.
It's not about the size. In the last 4 years, morale in the military was down. Recruitment was down. There is a concerted effort going on right now at the Pentagon, and it's already successful to enhance recruitment and to enhance pride and the idea of joining the military. I think you all are discounting the idea that a national parade for our military to show off our military, to show pride in the veterans that have defended this country, and you all are mad.
Pride in the veterans? He was just trying to rename Veterans Day.
I'm super proud of our military, but I don't think we should waste money. I think that the worst thing for morale that I've seen is Pete Hegseth as the defense
secretary. That's the worst thing you've seen?
For morale?
The literal worst thing you've seen?
I think pretty much. I mean, it's embarrassing. If you want to embarrass people.
Talk to a rank and file military.
You know what I'll say?
I'm with Scott Jennings here. I mean, Pete Hegseth has been doing a great job for the rank and file. And I see no issues there at all. But I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a problem with the fact that the president wants to have a big military parade, wants to put the troops out there, the helicopters and tanks? Now, you heard the argument coming from CNN, and their argument is, well, this is what the despots do. This is what Putin does. This is what China does. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. As a matter of fact, I think about it like this. What better recruiting tool than to have a huge military parade and to imagine all these young boys out there, and they're watching these soldiers walking by, marching by. They're watching all the hardware, and they're thinking, you know what? This is something that I would like to do. And it might be a great way of recruiting even more people to consider joining up the greatest volunteer force in the world. Again, it just seems to me that's a good thing. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So last night, we had Congressman Mark Harris on from North Carolina drop by the Newsmax show. Here's that conversation. Joining me now, Congressman Mark Harris, a Republican from North Carolina. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you today, Todd.
So Congressman, again, let's jump in. I want to get your reaction, first of all, this hullabaloo from the media over President Trump's AI image of himself as the Pope. I christened him Pope Donald the First here. Anything offensive by what the president did?
You know, I saw when he was asked about it, and again, he made it very clear that somebody did that and created an AI generated picture. Certainly no harm was intended in that, and he really didn't know anything about it based on the interview I saw a little bit earlier about it. I do think that there's a lot of folks in this country that are looking for anything to pounce on and don't understand this president and don't understand really the things that he does ingest at times. And I think that, you know, when he was asked earlier last week, I guess, who should be the Pope? And I think he just quipped, I'd like to be the Pope. Again, nothing that he meant seriously or would be taken seriously, but there's always somebody hanging out there that's wanting to pounce on anything and everything to make something out of it. So that's what I kind of size this up to be, Todd.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, let's move on. Texas Congressman Jasmine Crockett, again, who has... who's really grown a following by making fun of, among others, Ted Cruz, Governor Greg Abbott. Now the president is sharing his thoughts about Jasmine Crockett. Let's watch this.
I look at the Democrats. They're in total disarray. They have a new person named Crockett. I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
Yeah, I'm curious. Have you ever had any interactions with Jasmine Crockett? And do you think that she could very well be the future of the Democrat Party?
Well, I think there's a whole long line of individuals that are sort of being tossed around and their names being tossed around as the future of the Democratic Party is in terms of leadership. I do sit on the Judiciary Committee, and Ms. Crockett is a member of that committee. I've not really had any real personal interaction with her, just one-on-one, but have had an opportunity sitting in that committee to hear the things that she says and kind of go down the path that she goes down. And really, hers is no different than any of the other Democrats on that committee that have just kind of gone down the path of just constantly attacking President Trump, constantly attacking Elon Musk, and those kind of things. Bottom line is, Todd, the whole situation over on the Democrat side is just without vision. It's without leadership. It's really a rudderless movement, if you will, and they don't know which way to turn. And one of the things that I've said time and again that I think is a huge reason for this is because the left was ready to write the narrative that Republicans couldn't govern, that if we did get the trifecta, that we would splinter and that we would fall apart. And I have to tell you, you know, we're now into May. We're almost into our fifth month of this, and Republicans are governing. We are leading. We are able to pass things out of the House of Representatives and the Senate. And I think now is going to be an important time coming up in the next several weeks that as long as we keep doing that, it keeps the narrative out of the hands of the left. And when they don't know anything to talk about and they don't know anything to write about, then they have to turn on themselves. And that's exactly what we've been seeing happen.
Yeah, look, real quick here on NPR, PBS, I know the president announcing federal funding getting slashed. That there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about how that's really an act of Congress. So I'm just wondering, would you anticipate or is there any talk about actually codifying those cuts and going ahead once and for all eliminating funding to those to NPR and PBS?
I think eventually you will see that. I'm not aware right at the moment of the particular bill that will codify that, but I do think that that is something. There's a number of bills like that that President Trump has been so aggressive and really in a positive way of keeping the promises he made and making these executive orders. And it's now Congress's turn to step in and codify these so that any future Democrat administration would not be able to undo these things with a simple stroke of a pen. So I do think that that's one of the items that Congress is working toward. But I do think that right now we're so focused on reconciliation. We're so focused on the one big beautiful bill. And we're going to see how all of that continues to develop and shake out.
All right, Congressman Harris, we're going to have to leave it there. Apologize for the brevity, but thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
All right, there we go, folks. Congressman Mark Harris. You know, there was something interesting that he said, and again, it troubles me, is that the House of Representatives is not moving on the president's agenda. You heard the congressman say that there is no legislation that will permanently defund NPR or PBS or the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Why not? What exactly are they doing on Capitol Hill right now? Why are they not advancing the president's agenda? And that is an issue that has to be addressed. It absolutely has to be addressed. It is incredibly disappointing. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, we've got another Jasmine Crockett update for you. All right, Jasmine Crockett was spotted at the airport. This would be Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta. And, man, this is not a good look. This is not a good look for Jasmine Crockett. So there are photographs of Jasmine Crockett cutting in line in front of disabled people at the airport to get on board a plane. As a matter of fact, according to eyewitnesses, she used a taxpayer-funded police escort to fly on a jetliner, and there are photographs, and it looks like she's flying Delta, and she literally skipped ahead of all the handicapped people. You know, they go on first. They put all the handicapped people, the wheelchair people, they all go on first, and then everybody else, right? Well, not Jasmine Crockett, because Jasmine Crockett, she has to be first. Otherwise, it's racism. So there you this is terrible. So Jasmine Crockett, Miss Self-Entitlement, boards the airplane before the handicapped people. Just so you know where you're at with Jasmine Crockett. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926, Ed in Georgia. Now, Ed, I understand you disagree with me. I believe that NPR should be completely defunded. What do you say?
Yeah, I just don't understand why that should be priority number one. I mean, what does NPR have to do anything? I'd rather have Congress pass an immigration bill that's going to solve the illegal immigration on the southern border, and I'd rather have them pass something to do something in regards to health care, education, defense. You know, I mean, why are we stuck on NPR? I don't understand how NPR is going to make my life any better, put more money in my pocket.
Well, it will put more money in your pocket, Ed, because right now they're getting about $500 million in our tax money. And every little bit helps here. And $500 million, it may be a drop in the bucket right now when it comes to the wasteful, the trillions of dollars in wasteful spending. But we got to start somewhere. So I say, why not NPR? Why not PBS?
Well, I mean, we got the big 500-pound gorilla in the room. If we really want to take action on budget cuts, we need to go after the Social Security and try to go after Medicaid, Medicare. You know, defense. Those are the big guns that we need to concentrate on. You know, I mean, I just don't understand why Doge or all these other guys that are going after these cuts are going after these minor things, man. I mean, let's start with the big guns, man. I mean, come on, let's get serious here.
But they are. I mean, they've been exposing a lot of the fraud that's happening in Social Security. I'll tell you what I would like yet. I'd like to take it a step further and arrest the people that are committing the fraud in Social Security.
I was going to say the same thing. If all this fraud is happening, where is the prosecution? Where are these people, and why aren't they in jail? That's what the American people want to know. How can we take this serious that they are going after fraud and abuse if no one is getting locked up or prosecuted?
Ed, I think that's a fair question you're asking, and I don't have an answer. It's one of great frustration to me because they're framing this, and a lot of the conservative media, they're framing this as wasteful spending. No, it's not wasteful spending. It's a crime. I mean, these people are committing fraud. That is a crime. They should be arrested.
That's correct. That's the only way people are going to take this serious. If no heads spin, no one is going to take this thing seriously.
So, Ed, it sounds like you're a little frustrated right now with the way things are going.
I am. I'm an independent voter, you know, and I vote for the individual, not the party. And one thing I appreciate Donald Trump is doing is going after China. I think that has been just, the Chinese have been, like you said, been eating our lunch for the longest. They've been stealing our intellectual property for the past 20 years, you know, and it's about time a president stood up and went after the China for what they've been doing to this country for the past couple of decades, you know. And I like the fact that he's done something about illegal immigration, you know, because that was out of control. So, but at the end of the day, he needs to get a hold of the budget cuts, man. He needs to do something about the budget cuts. I don't think Doge is going far enough.
Oh, I'm with you there. It's not going far enough, and the cuts that are being made are great, but there's so much more that's got to be cut. It just got to.
It's going to take legislation from Congress. It's going to take legislation from Congress. Congress holds the purse.
But, you know, Ed, they're not doing anything. Congress isn't doing anything right now.
They're Republican-controlled, right?
That's right, but they're not doing anything.
Yeah. In the midterms. If they don't do something about it, they're going to pay the price in the midterm because the American people gave them a chance to put all those words into action, and if they don't do something by midterms, guess what? Democrats are taking over.
I hope they're listening to you, Ed. I really am, because you're absolutely right. And it's not going to be a matter. It'll be a matter of the Democrats getting their base energized and Republicans being demoralized because once again they have kicked us in the wazoo, and that's where things are going right now. And it really bothers me that we're getting a lot of excuses and we're not getting a lot of action.
That's correct. I'm an African American, and I work with a lot of Hispanics. A lot of my Hispanic friends voted for Republicans for the first time. A lot of my African-American friends, they voted Republican for the first time in November. And I'll be honest with you, the thing I'm trying to get the Republican Party to understand is this is your opportunity to really become a mainstream party. This is your opportunity right here. This is the one last chance the Republican Party has to show the American people that they're not all talk, but they're going to put all of their beliefs when it comes to cutting the budget and all their beliefs when it comes to taxes into work, into action.
Ed,
and that's what we want to see.
Yeah, I hear you. I've got to leave it there because we're coming up on the top of the hour break here. But I wanted you to have your say because, ladies and gentlemen, what Ed says is a great concern. And if the Republicans don't get it together, and we've got to start seeing very visible, audible change happening. We've got to see the votes. We've got to be getting those bills to the president's desk. And if we don't, Ed is right. We're going to have a Democrat majority in the midterms. I mean, it really is that simple. Hang tight. Gotta go.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you are doing well today. Write down our telephone number. You're going to need this. 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. Real quick, before we jump into the big topic, I want to go to Norma, who is listening to us in Jackson, Tennessee, WTJS, and wanted to weigh in on the big military parade that the military says, or rather that the media says, is about President Trump's birthday, when in fact it's really not. Norma, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm fine, and I wanted to say I agree with you and that Ed person. And I have another thought here. Maybe Trump is opening Alcatraz, and he can throw all these big wigs that have been stealing over there in California at that prison.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that, Norma, and I certainly appreciate your call. I've got no problem with him sending all these, the worst of the worst over to Alcatraz. Look, the reality is Alcatraz needs a whole lot of work. I mean, the thing is literally falling down. It is dilapidated. My question is that the most economical thing? Maybe we should just put them in the middle of the desert somewhere. Or better yet, ship them all to, I don't know, El Salvador. As long as El Salvador is good with it, I'm good for it. Ship them all down there. But by the way, going back to something a previous caller said, Ed, who said, you know, he's an independent and he votes for the man and not the party. And I get that. I really do. For me, the only reason I'm voting straight Republican tickets is by and large, my values square up more so with the Republicans than they do the Democrats. But the problem I've got is that the Republicans we elect in Congress, they're not Trump Republicans. They may say they are, but they're not. Otherwise, they would have already codified. And here's just hear me on this, all right? Every time President Trump signs an executive order, that should immediately go to Congress, and they should immediately begin the process of codifying every single executive order. But they're not doing that. As a matter of fact, they've only done five, ladies and gentlemen. In the first 100 days of the Biden administration, Biden was able to get through 11 pieces of legislation. He had a Democrat-controlled House and Senate. Trump's got a Republican-controlled House and Senate. And that tells me that there are Republicans that are causing a slowdown of the president's agenda. And we've got to deal with that. President Trump is doing everything he said he was going to do, every single thing he said he was going to do. Unfortunately, those that we've elected in the House and the Senate are not, and we've got to hold them accountable. Now, one of the good guys, Andy Biggs, in the House of Representatives, is now running for governor in Arizona. And yesterday on our Newsmax show, I was able to talk with Jay Feely. You might remember him, former NFL star, longtime sports analyst, and he's decided to throw his hat into the ring, and he's going to be running to replace Andy Biggs in Congress. Let's take a listen.
Joining now, Jay Feely. Jay, good to have you with us. So go through this. You've had a great career in the NFL. Then you land an incredible job as a sports analyst. So why the big move to politics?
Todd, I had a lot of my friends ask me that same question. They were like, are you sure this is what you want to do? You want to give up your job on TV and only have to work 5 months of the year to go into D.C. and deal with that? But I think we need people that have strong convictions, that will stand up for those convictions, that can communicate well with not only their constituents, but America in general about Republican and conservative views, and, you know, that are willing to stand up there and be a mouthpiece and not give in to what happens in D.C. so often when you're up there for self-serving measures. I believe that politics should be about being a civil servant, and that's what I hope to achieve in Congress.
So let's go back into the time machine. 2020, President Trump in Yuma, Arizona, at a rally that you attended, and the president actually gave you a shout-out. Let's watch this.
He's one of the best kickers ever, NFL kicker Jay Feely. Where's Jay? Where's Jay? He's here someplace. Where is he? Where? Jay! What happened? You couldn't get a good seat, Jay. I'll bet you this man would only stand for our national anthem. That's one thing. That's one thing I can tell you. And if they don't stand for our flag, if they don't stand for our national anthem, I turn off the game.
All right. So Andy Biggs doing a great job there serving the district for so long. You got big shoes to fill there, Jay.
First thing I did in January when Andy Biggs announced that he was running for governor was to have breakfast with him and to sit down and just see where he was headed. And he said he was all in on running for governor. And so then I said, okay, well, then I'm going to start thinking truly about running for your seat. It was something that Jim Jordan and President Trump had talked to me about a few years earlier, running for office, not for Andy Biggs' seat, but maybe senator, governor. And it wasn't the right time yet. I had a couple of kids that were still at home in high school, and I didn't want to be away from them. You know, but with Andy deciding that he was going to run for governor and my children now graduating and we're going to be empty nesters, my wife and I really felt like this was the time to serve. And for me, the big moment that stood out was watching the assassination attempt with President Trump and watching him being willing to stand up and fight both physically and metaphorically for our country and to continue to want to be in office and to lead us. And I really sat back and asked myself, what am I willing to sacrifice for my country and leading a job that I really liked and being willing to engage in the political process, stand up for conservative principles and the America First agenda. Those are the things that really stood out to me. And I decided this was the time that I'm ready to do it. And, you know, having a relationship with President Trump, being able to golf with him a few times and understand who he is at his core and at his heart. You know, I've been a fan of his since he ran in 2016. I'm going to continue to fight for him when I'm in Congress, and I'm looking forward to that challenge.
All right. Well, breaking earlier today, the president announcing the U.S. will offer $1,000 to illegals to self-deport. How do you think that will play there in Arizona?
Border is still the number one issue. Border and the economy will always be the two biggest issues here in Arizona. And I think we should have that nuanced conversation about illegal immigration versus legal immigration. And my wife and I, we brought two young men from Haiti after the earthquake and put them through college, and they moved into our home. We did it legally. They got an education visa. One of them did. He's since gotten a master's degree and got married. The companies love him. Those are the kind of people that we want here in our country and that are an asset to our country. But to go illegally, to let 20 million people or more come through our borders, to not have any vetting process, to put the American people at risk, because you want to do it for political reasons. That's what the Democrat Party did. That's what the Biden administration did. And every Democrat who does an interview and they're complaining about President Trump, the next question should be, are you willing to apologize to the American people? Will you sit there and be honest and say that you willingly let these illegals come through without vetting them and put Americans at risk? Rapes, murders, fentanyl overdoses, all these awful things that happen to Americans because the Democrats put politics in front of protection. Those are the questions that the media should be asking the Democrats. They don't do it. I think every measure that President Trump does to make the illegals leave our country and then come back through a legal process if they want to come back, that's what we should be doing, and that's what I think Americans support.
Jay, real quick, President announcing that he wants to bring the NFL draft to the Washington Mall. They're expecting as many as a million people to show up. Your reaction?
Well, I love it. I think it would be awesome to be in America's capital, at the Washington Monument. Just the symbolism that he has. Football has become America's sport. We have America's president back in office. I think it would be an excellent thing. I want to be there. You know, hopefully I'm in Congress and I can be there as well to celebrate the NFL and the draft. It's such a great day for America. Everybody loves the draft. They're excited about it. There's so much drama. You know, and I love my time both playing in the NFL for 14 years, broadcasting the NFL for 10 years, and you know, I'm sure that I'll be part of that process if I'm in D.C.
All right, Jay, good luck to you, and thanks for coming on Newsmax. Appreciate that.
Thanks so much. They can go to jayfeelyforcongress.com if you want to support me. Appreciate it, Todd.
All right, there you go, Jay Feely, and good guy, folks, good guy. I like him, and President Trump does as well. I want to go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. David in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, wants to talk about Alcatraz. Hi, David. What's going on?
Afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
So the question is we own Guantanamo Bay. Why don't we just expand on it or turn it into the prison? It's on a big island out there by itself.
Oh, so sending them all down to Gitmo.
Yeah, that'll work.
I like that. You know, look, here's the challenge. Alcatraz has been shut down since, what, 1963. So it is falling apart. And part of the big problem with Alcatraz was, first of all, the high cost of the maintenance and the upkeep, primarily because of all of that salt water. So it was corroding everything. I've got no problem with that.
I mean, Gitmo's there. We own it. All we got to do is expand it.
David, are you satisfied with the pace in Congress right now, moving President Trump's agenda through?
They could do a little better, I think. I try to keep up with it, but, you know, they'll work too much. But, yeah, I wish they could move a little faster.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. I'm concerned because I know how these guys operate. So the longer they hold out, they think that we're going to forget. But we're not going to forget on this program. I've got a list of things, and we're monitoring those things. And by golly, we're going to make sure that they live up to their word. They've got to, because we need 4 years of Donald Trump and a Republican-controlled Congress to get things done. And the Republicans, if they're playing around, they're going to lose. They're going to lose.
And I'm going to add this, but I wish they'd do something about all this Hamas stuff where they're in, what, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas? And even in Tennessee, where they're trying to bring a Sharia law into this country?
It is a very troubling thing. Are you ready for this, David? A lot of people are going to be shocked by this, but the largest number of mosques, it's not in Michigan, where you would expect, like Dearborn, Michigan. It's the state of Texas. And California and New York and Florida are coming up close behind them, as is Tennessee, by the way. So you're watching Islamists pouring into all of those states. So you think that's you got a problem with that?
Well, yeah, because I don't want to live by Sharia law for one. I'm a Christian, and they want to go out and kill all the Christians. I mean, that's what they state on their talking points when you see them on different social media platforms.
Well, they want to kill the Christians, the Jews, and everybody in the LGBT world.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was making on my side, but
no, I hear you. It's so all that to say, there are a lot of other people that need to have skin in this fight because they're going to be coming after all of us. If you do not, again, they consider all of us to be the infidels, and they're going to be coming after all of us. David, you're absolutely right, and we need to pay very close attention to that. David, I got to run. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, poor Kristi Noem, Secretary of Homeland Security. She's having to testify up on Capitol Hill. We have a couple of sound bites here. Here's Kristi Noem having to deal with these Democrats up there.
Form, I don't know the
thank
number,
you.
But that's... I do know these mothers.
Okay,
on
thank
the
you.
Record,
the second form, ma'am, reclaiming my time. Ma'am, please, ma'am, reclaiming my time. I'd like you to avoid the filibuster so I can get to all my questions,
ma'am,
please.
Answering your questions.
So the second.
Ma'am. Please, reclaiming my time.
Now you understand why guys don't want to marry or date liberal women. It's because of that. By the way, who else does that? Oh, it's Maxine Waters. Crazy Auntie Maxine.
Reclaiming my time.
So here's so then there's the purple haired monster. She's that Democrat Congress chick from New York, and she was trying to convince people that FEMA was actually doing a good job, when in fact Christine Ohm dropped a bombshell. Take a listen.
Where is the evidence of the failure of FEMA?
Congresswoman, we still have claims open from Hurricane Katrina. We have fire claims that are still unpaid to people who said they were due them 7 to 8 to 10 years old. They have never been paid by FEMA. So one of the worst things that the federal government can do is to stand up in front of the American public and say, we will be there. We will walk alongside you in the most horrible time of your life, and then never follow through on it.
It's a great point. And that's shocking. That's 2004. People are still waiting for help from the government. I'm telling you, folks, it's a mess. It is a mess up there. And good for you, Christine Ohm, for standing your ground and fighting the good fight up there. Really remarkable what's happening there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to keep you updated, monitoring the hearings. Again, the Democrats are just acting like complete blessed assurances. No. Buttheads. They're acting like buttheads, and it's not a good look for the Democrats. It's really not. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on that issue. By the way, I will say this, that I like this idea. We had a caller just a few moments ago from East Memphis. I got to thinking about this over the break. He's right. We've got Gitmo. Why don't we send all these very dangerous criminal aliens to Gitmo? Why don't we just do that? And for that matter, why don't we start cleaning out these jails and maybe sending a message to all of these very violent people out there that, you know what, you go out there and you commit a crime, then you're going to jail for a very long time. A very long time. And it's not going to be in some, like, nice place either. Unbelievable what's happening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up on Newsmax tonight, we're going to be talking with Alex Villanueva. He is the former sheriff in Los Angeles County. He's coming up next on our show, by the way. But Villanueva has just announced that he is flipping parties. He is no longer going to be a Democrat. And when he joins us coming up after the break, he's going to explain why he's no longer going to be a Democrat. It is going to be a great interview. You're going to want to stick around for that. Speaking of Newsmax, well, Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, listed on the big board. Millions of Americans, just like you, are now joining our news revolution. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. And just a reminder, this communication is for informational purposes only, shall not be intended to, and shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I told you a little bit later this evening, our next guest is going to be joining me on my Newsmax TV show, but I wanted to introduce him to our national audience. He's a great American patriot. His name is Alex Villanueva. He is the former sheriff in Los Angeles County and just made national headlines by announcing that he is leaving the Democrat Party. Wow, Sheriff, good to have you with us today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on there. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, and I have to tell you, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I have a lot of friends in Lancaster, and many of them are deputy sheriffs, and they've always said nothing but great things about you.
Oh, they're, you know, God bless those folks out there. They're doing the hard work, pushing radio cars to a thankless boss.
Sheriff, I'm curious, why is it after 44 years as a registered Democrat, you decided to leave the party?
Well, I can borrow Reagan's quote. I didn't leave the party. The party left me, for starters. And then you look at the nonsense of the California Democratic Party, what they've done to all of California, L.A. County, L.A. City. It's up and down the state. They've destroyed the Golden State with their insane policies, high taxes, high regulations, and, hey, crime is no problem if we just pretend it doesn't exist.
I love how you describe the two parties in your announcement. You said you were leaving the party of paid protest, purple hair and pronouns, and joining the party of faith, family, and freedom. How long did it take for you to finally come to that decision, and what was it that finally just pushed you over the edge?
Well, I've been concerned for a while, but, you know, being an elected office, a nonpartisan office, you know, I just don't really get into the partisan politics part of it. But they went after me and my family so bad when I was in office. The lawfare thing that President Trump was going through, I was experiencing it firsthand here in L.A. County. But then, you know, set me aside. It's just what they've done to law enforcement, what they've done to basically public service. Look at the fires. People burned to death because there was no one left to evacuate people. There was no evacuation plans. It was an utter breakdown of government and their responsibilities to provide for public safety. And that is all falls on the shoulders of the Democratic Party.
It's, you know, again, over the years, I've really been impressed. And you would say things in press conferences and your reactions to, you know, this out of control crime, you know, in California. And it just gave me pause. I'm thinking, you know, this guy sounds more like a Republican than a Democrat. It must be great now to be a part of a group of people that are like-minded and do want to do something about the conditions here in California.
Oh, definitely. And Saturday when I announced it, oh, the outpouring of support, it was just heartwarming for sure. And that was, it was pretty cool. And then I've just been flooded with requests and calls and thank yous and welcome and, you know, what took you so long. So it's been really special.
What is it that you want to do next? I mean, clearly you're coming out and you're making this announcement. Do you have plans to run for office?
Well, for now, I'm locking horns with the county. We go to trial in June on their efforts, basically their lawfare efforts, where they labeled me as a do not rehire. And so that now they're being held accountable for that in court civilly. And I'm going to support Staley's efforts at cleaning up the homeless industrial complex. I'll give them all the information I have. And I want to encourage disaffected Democrats, Latinos everywhere. You know what? Time to leave that party of death and destruction. Let's move over to the party of responsibility and law and order.
I like that. And I think they're just, again, there are conservative Democrats, and they do not have a home in the Democrat Party anymore.
No, they proved it. They were openly hostile for me. And what did I do? I just did my job. How dare I investigate public corruption? Don't you know who you are or who you're dealing with? I couldn't care less. Because for me, it's about calling the balls and strikes. I don't care who's batting.
It always seemed to me, and there have been so many failed efforts by the Republicans here to try to gain ground, regain some seats in the state house, and it's going to take some time. But it just seems to me, Sheriff, that the solution here is really the Hispanic community in California, because by and large, those folks are very conservative, especially on a lot of the big culture issues of the day.
Definitely. You look at small business owners, the amount of Latinos that are small business owners. Oh, my God. And the Democratic Party is trying to kill them. And they struggle to put food on the table, meet their payroll. and go through all the red tape you could choke a horse with. And what does the Democratic Party do? Give them more red tape. And, you know, enough of that. Let's start, you know, let's start rewarding success and punishing failure instead of what the Dems do, which is reward failure and punish success.
I love that. I got to tell you, there's a great church in northern Los Angeles County, Lancaster Baptist Church. I don't know if you've heard of it. One of these mega churches. And, yes, man, are they are pro-law enforcement, very conservative. And I got to tell you, Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor there and the president of West Coast Baptist College, that's a good resource for you, Sheriff.
Yes, good friend of mine, and he supported me when I was in office as sheriff, and big asset to the community up there in the high desert.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to having you on the Newsmax show later this evening, and we appreciate you jumping on our national radio show today.
You got it. Well, thanks for having me, and looking forward to tonight.
Sheriff, it's going to be a lot of fun, and whatever we can do to help you, you let us know. You're good people, as we say back home in Tennessee.
Oh, well, thank you. Will do.
All right. Sheriff, the former sheriff of Los Angeles County, you saw him on TV a lot, and every time he'd be up there and he'd be saying things, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe the party, the Democrat Party, is letting this guy say all this stuff. But he just speaks his mind. And again, Republicans have to understand and contend with a very simple truth, that not everybody is going to be in MAGA country, right? That's just the reality of it. So if Alex Villanueva can he's a brand new Republican. If he can win office out there, we got to get behind people like that. And that is how you are slowly going to change the culture in a place like California. But hear me on this. Not even liberals, hear me on this now, not even liberals have a home in the Democrat Party right now. They don't. It is a radical progressive left party. And you folks need to be thinking about what that looks like, because if they ever get control of Congress and the White House again, they will take away our freedoms. And all you folks out there saying, well, Donald Trump, he's just a dictator. He's a dictator. Really? Well, he's the worst dictator in the history of dictators, because he's given people more freedom than any other president in modern political history. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Mark in Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Kudos to the sheriff for having the guts to do the right thing. I really appreciate stuff like that. And let's see, a couple of other points. One, senators and congressmen, they're never going to change as a group. We need term limits. That's about the only way to affect that. Liberal judges, obviously, are the problem. They're overstepping their boundaries. And I really like what President Trump has done with DOGE. And I think any governor and mayor worth his salt ought to be doing the same thing with their budgets and their programs. It's just ridiculous that Trump's trying to fight this battle by himself, or with a few of us who back him.
No, he really is, Mark. And I'm loving the DOGE cuts too, but here's the challenge. Those have to be codified. Congress has to step in and make those cuts permanent. And if they don't, man, we're right back to square one again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Mark. Appreciate that. And Mark raises some great points as well. But it is refreshing to see people like Sheriff Villanueva getting out there and saying, you know what, this is nuts. And he's not even talking about turning, and this is what I find funny, and I know this is going to anger a lot of Republicans out there. He said it's time to turn California purple. So look, he's not a far right guy. He's probably not a MAGA guy. He's a common sense kind of a guy. And so I would love to see California turn purple, and here's the reason why. If California is able to go purple, guess what? That means Republicans are moving the needle. So we're getting closer to going red, but we're nowhere near those days right now. So I'm excited about the former sheriff becoming a Republican. Over 40 some odd years he spent as a Democrat, and he said, you know what? My party has left me. It's gone. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi's party has left her. That's how far left these people are going, and it is happening very quickly. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we've got the photos of Jasmine Crockett at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta. And it's pretty bad. It's really bad. So you got the poor folks, and they got the disabilities right there in the wheelchairs, and they're waiting to go and board the plane. And then along comes Jasmine Crockett and her staffers, and they shove their way to the front of the line in front of the poor people in the wheelchairs. So Lisa McClain is there. She is a congressperson. She is the chair of the House Republican Conference, and she's there taking all the pictures. So this is great. So you've got photographic evidence, and we're posting all of this on toddstearns.com. And I would encourage you to go and check out the photos over on the website during the break. It's bad. And people are really, really unhappy about all of this. One guy says, flying first class on our dime reminds me of the incident when Sheila Jackson Lee kicked a white lady out of her first class seat so she could take it. I see a pattern here. Paratrooper Brady says, Jasmine Crockett is evil. Others that I'm not allowed to repeat. Here we go. Entitlement, black privilege, the ability to break every law in the country and still remain the victim. No, I'm not. No, I'm just reading these here. These are all, she wants to be the next Sheila Jackson Lee. Though that was a big story back in the day when Sheila Jackson Lee did that. Sharon says, thanks for verifying to U.S. citizens the type of person she is. Not only is she using taxpayer funds to help her speed through the airport, but also for keeping the public from questioning her outlandish statements. Her personal disregard for the needs of others are on display. This is true, actually. It's a sad thing. And it just seems to me, and I fly a lot with Delta, and one of the things, by the way, you know what else she did? She also skipped in front of service members. Because I know something about Delta. I'm a million and a half miler with these people. And what they do is they board the wheelchair people first. Which, by the way, I don't mean to digress here, but can we talk about that for just a moment? All the people that need the assistance getting on board the plane. It's like 75 people. I've never seen so many, not here, but I mean, I have been on airplanes where they literally, in the jetway, they have the little wheelchair carts lined up down the jetway out the door. And all I'm saying is, God forbid there's an accident on the airplane and you got to get off quickly. If you've got that many people that need assistance, you're not getting off that airplane quickly. I'm just saying. But anyway, I digress. So they load up the handicapped people first, and then they invite all the military people. If you're a veteran or if you're currently serving, all you have to do is show your little ID and you get to board the flight. And by the way, Delta, they make a big deal about it. Sometimes the last people to applaud. And people applaud and they cheer because we love our veterans, we love our military service members, and I'm glad Delta does that. And then first class gets to board. Well, Jasmine Crockett, not only did she cut in line of the handicapped people, she cut in front of the military. That's pretty despicable. So Crockett and her team aren't saying anything. No comment at all. But I got to tell you something. That woman may be flying first class, but she's certainly not first class. She's low class. Low class, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. An interesting story in our stack of stuff. Why being boring is the newest status symbol. Katie Rosinski is the writer, explores how being a little bit dull became something to boast about. Is that true? it seems like in this world of social media influencers that it's all about your popularity. It's all about your clicks and your likes and your views and your engagement. But now, according to this article, people are finding fame and popularity by being dull. Well, if that's the case, how do you find fame and popularity if you're dull? Nobody knows where to find you. This makes absolutely no sense at all. Another story in our stack of stuff, Gen Z man has eye-opening observations of his generation's aspirations. This man's TikTok video, his name is Will Whitlock, a 25-year-old content creator in England, posted a clip. Viewers able to see him speak directly to the camera from the driver's seat of a car about the illusions of money, popularity, and social media fame. It's been seen over 133,000 times. He says he felt compelled to share the message because it reflects what many believe in his generation are dealing with. He says culture is fixated on appearance and material gain at the cost of personal meaning and fulfillment. You know, that's kind of been the way it's been since the dawn of time there, pal. He says it's funny how we live in a world where you can be so poor that all you have is money, and you can be so ugly that all you have are good looks, and you can be so lost that all you have is comfort, and you can be so lonely that all you have is followers. All these surface-level things the world chases after, all these fleeting things are not what they seem, and they don't give you satisfaction or pleasure that you think they do. So the next time you look at someone and put them on a pedestal and think, I wish I lived the life they live, you have no idea what insecurities that person has. Well, that's true. But look, that's the way life has been long before social media came along, long before the internet came along. People are always after all these things, hoping these things, whether it be money or fame, that they fill that void, and the void never gets filled. Might I recommend to all of these social media influencers out there that perhaps, just perhaps, maybe what they are looking for cannot be found on TikTok, but it could be found at your local church house. Just something to think about. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And want to share some intel coming in from our friends over at Pride Park. So it turns out that North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, again, North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis is now flipping on Donald Trump's nominee to be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Now, hear me on this. This is a very crucial, very important role, especially as the Trump administration fights the open lawfare that's being waged against the administration. But Tom Tillis, the senator from North Carolina, has announced that he will now oppose the president's nominee. So he is going to oppose Ed Martin, who has been serving in the office on an interim basis. And Breitbart reports this could very well be the death knell for Martin's nomination. Tillis withholding his support was the crucial impediment to Martin's nomination being advanced before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And without his support, Chairman Chuck Grassley would not bring Martin's nomination to the floor. We're not being told why just yet. Tillis is not responding to requests from Breitbart regarding his decision, and his office did not respond Tuesday morning to a request for an explanation. Tillis told a gaggle of reporters, including CNN on Tuesday, that most of his concerns related to January 6. Quote, we have to be very, very clear that what happened on J6 was wrong. Tillis said he disagreed with Martin's decision to pardon all those who entered the Capitol that day. Tillis' position directly contradicts President Trump's, who pardoned all individuals who did so. Now, just hours before the announcement, Trump called for senators to support Ed Martin, calling his confirmation imperative. The president says we're going to take back our country and fast. The president went on to say, and I'm reading the president's comments, Ed Martin will be a big player in doing so, and I hope the Republican senators will make a commitment to his approval, which is now before them. Ed is coming up on the deadline for voting, and if approved, he will not let you down. When someday in the future you look back at your vote for Ed Martin, you will be very proud of what you have done for America. Sources tell Breitbart that Trump is continuing to hold out hope for Tillis, who is up for re-election, but the clock is ticking. By the way, Martin's interim status ends on May 20. So my question to all of you folks listening to us across the great state of North Carolina, what is going on with your U.S. senator? Unless Tillis gets on board with Trump, the nomination will likely be dead in the water, and the president's America First agenda will be severely undercut. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it just seems to me that Tom Tillis is, in fact, a rhino, a Republican in name only. And I've been very clear about roles and responsibilities in the Trump administration. And it seems to me, now let's talk about those roles and responsibilities. If you are a member of the president's cabinet, you have a responsibility to do your job, to not screw up, and don't embarrass the president. You have a responsibility to let him be the face of the administration and not you. And I could go down a list of cabinet members who are overstepping the mark on that particular issue. You are not there to audition for a role on Fox News Channel. You are not there to advance your own career. You are there to deliver on the president's agenda. I mean, it really is that simple to me. Seriously. And by and large, everybody's doing it. You know who's doing the best job of that is a guy by the name of Marco Rubio. And Trump actually mentioned that Marco could be a great presidential contender, along with J.D. Vance. But Marco and J.D. are doing a great job of that. Everybody else, I got issues with. Big time. So that's your job as a member of the cabinet. Now, if you're in the Senate, you have a responsibility to confirm every person Donald Trump sends your way. But Todd, what? It doesn't matter. No buts about it. The man took a bullet in the head for you and for me. He gets whatever he wants.
But what if it doesn't work out?
Well, it doesn't work out. It doesn't matter. That's who Donald Trump wants. That's who we ought to get.
But
no buts about it. And the same thing for the House of Representatives. Start doing your job, people. That's all. That's all we're asking here. Start doing your job. So this is really unfortunate that North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis is doing this. And I'm really hoping for the sake of Ed Martin and the Trump White House that you folks are lighting up the phones at Tillis' offices. And by the way, when you call, don't just call Congress on Capitol Hill. You call the local district offices and you let those local district people know that you will openly campaign against Tom Tillis if he stands against Trump here. All right, we've got to take a break here, and I do want to get the opinions here of our North Carolina audience. I mean, what is going on here with Tom Tillis? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, yesterday, we had Congressman Kevin Kiley from California on the show, the Newsmax show, and he is just beside himself over this legislation that now allows people to purchase children for sex in California. It's just as shocking as it could possibly be. Horrifying what's happening there. Let's take a listen.
Hey now, California Congressman Kevin Kiley, Congressman, good to have you with us this evening on Newsmax.
Good to be with you, Todd.
So, Congressman, let's just jump right into this. This judge's ruling, we understand late breaking news, the Trump administration going directly to the Supreme Court, and he wants to end all legal protection, shielding over 350,000 Venezuelans in this country. When are we going to take action on these judges?
Well, we have taken action in the House by passing the No Rogue Rulings Act, which is designed to prevent precisely what happened here. Where you have a single judge who can bind the executive branch with a nationwide injunction. This is not the way the system is supposed to work. These nationwide injunctions didn't really even exist until pretty recently. And so we passed that bill. It's passed through the House. It'd be great if the Senate could act on it. But ultimately, the Supreme Court, I think, needs to weigh in here as well, that it cannot have a single rogue district court judges effectively becoming a Supreme Court unto themselves and claiming to have the authority to restrict the executive branch across the board.
But beyond that, Congressman, it's not that they're acting like the Supreme Court. They're acting like they are the White House, that they
right.
Their rulings are superseding the will of not only the president, but the 80 million people that put him in office.
You know, that's a great point. And that is one of the big problems here, is that we have sort of seemingly vanishing avenues through which the people of our country can express their will and bring about the change that the country desires. I mean, the president was elected with a significant mandate when it comes to immigration. And indeed, the public dramatically approves of his actions when it comes to immigration for his first 100 days. And so if you can't have the ability to then, you know, carry out the sort of actions that the people have asked for to restore order, to restore a sense of actually having a border, then at some point, you know, what claim to democratic legitimacy is there? So I think that's one of the big problems with these nationwide injunctions, is it undercuts the notion of democratic legitimacy when a single judge out of all of the judges that we have in Article 3 in our courts can say that I'm going to contravene the actions of the duly elected president of the United States.
I have to tell you, as astounded as I am over these judicial rulings, whatever is going on in your home state, Congressman, I just don't get this one. The latest coming from the assembly there, where what Democrats blocked a bill that would make purchasing 16 and 17 year old humans a felony. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is what's going on in your state right now.
It is an absolute disgrace. It is completely mind-boggling. It is disgusting that you have elected officials in California who would say, no, we're going to come down on the side of the child predators. We're going to say that if you actually solicit and purchase a minor, a 16-year-old, to sexually abuse them, that this should not be a felony. It is absolutely unbelievable that they would do this. The supermajority today in the assembly actually rejected an attempt by the Republicans to restore the language in this bill, saying it's a penalty, it's a felony for 16 and 17 year olds. And Gavin Newsom, by the way, came out after I sort of shamed him on social media for saying nothing. He came out and said that he wants to get involved, but he actually apparently was not successful in doing that, because today they did exactly the opposite. So it just goes to show you just how far afield California has gotten, that we have these radical elected officials in the supermajority who are unwilling to provide even the most basic common sense protections for our young people.
Congressman, real quick, before we let you go, there has been a lot of back and forth between Elise Stefanik and the House Speaker. Everything okay in the Republican caucus, or are there rumblings of something going on behind the scenes?
I don't know if I've heard a lot about that, but I think Elise Stefanik is a fantastic member of Congress. And frankly, I think she'd be a fantastic governor of New York.
All right. There you go. There. And by the way, there are big divisions happening in the House of Representatives on the Republican side of the aisle, folks. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, then to the phones we go. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Tony in Georgia. Hi, Tony. What's on your mind today?
Thanks so much for taking my call, Todd. I want to just thank you personally for calling out Senator Tillis. I was born and raised in North Carolina. All my family lives there. I don't know what's happening to the state of North Carolina. I don't know if there's bad water that's draining down from Virginia. But it seems like North Carolina is becoming more and more liberal. I think Tillis is a closet liberal, to be honest with you. I would agree with the Rhino statement that you made. But I don't know if it's, I don't know if he's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame. Hey, look at me. I don't know why he's doing what he's doing about this. Martin would be a good choice. And a lot of those people were innocent people that were in the White House or in the Capitol that particular day. There might have been some bad actors there. I don't know. But I think to have them pardoned, by the way, and also what they went through, the charges that were given to these people, they were treated like mass murderers. And that's just wrong. And Tillis needs to get on board with Trump or get out of Washington.
Yeah, look, and we could open up the phone lines to our Florida or our North Carolina listeners to explain what's going on with their state. But North Carolina was once a rock-solid red state that has, I mean, I'm willing to say it's gone purple. I'm not sure all the way blue. But here's the concern I have, Tony. The same thing happening in North Carolina is happening in Georgia right now.
Oh, I know. We got Ossoff and what's the other guy's name? Two terrible senators.
Yeah, Warnock and Ossoff, yeah.
Yeah, they've got to be replaced. I don't think that's where Georgia is. I think, you know, we've had some, there's a lot of growth in the Atlanta area, and a lot of northerners come down for business, that kind of thing, and a lot of times they bring their politics with them. But at one time, the state of Georgia that I live in now was absolutely ruby red. But I'm tired of these rhinos. I wish they'd go find something else to do. We want to move on with the country. 77 million, whatever million Trump was voted in. And people want to see change. They're tired of all this politics in Washington. And look at me, and I'm going to go against Donald Trump. I'm tired of all this stuff. I know you are, too.
No, I feel your pain there. And Tony, we just got to play smart politics. And, of course, there in Georgia, you guys are having a go of it. Brian Kemp. Causing a lot of eyebrow raising. He just announced that he will not be running for the U.S. Senate. And a lot of folks are upset over this. They're saying that Kemp would be a shoo-in to win the Senate. But I suspect that Brian Kemp is more interested in being the next president of the United States than he is the next senator. So we'll have to see how this plays out. But again, you even have some MAGA people that are upset with Brian Kemp's decision. MTG suggesting she may jump into the race. And the MAGA crowd seems to think that, you know, Kemp owes it. But look, Kemp doesn't owe MAGA anything. And I'm just going to be flat out honest here. The way that Kemp has been treated, and whether it's deserved or not, he doesn't really owe anybody anything at this point. All right, we've got to. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
I was just going to say, I agree. I think he would be a shoo-in to be senator. I don't know why he's not running. But I hope the North Carolina people will call into your show and explain exactly who Tillis is and why he's doing it. I think that's a good thing. Thank you for taking my call, Todd.
Tony, thank you. Appreciate that. And as a matter of fact, let's go to Tim in Morehead City, North Carolina. Tim, what's going on in North Carolina?
Well, Todd, I'll tell you, this is nothing new. If you had to go back in history a little bit, President Trump's first term, Tom Tillis, was just about this time period, maybe a little bit earlier in the term, and he was one of those vocal ones complaining about right-wing
extremism and all this kind of thing. So, if he, you know, if he, he's got, I don't know whether he's got some kind of an old axe to grind, but he's got a whole cadre of North Carolina voters who really don't like him. And I've called and left messages, and I'm pretty sure I got a little tick mark marked by my name because I was pretty tough on him and just my thoughts and opinions that I left with some of his staffers. And so, I don't know. I don't want to get arrested. I didn't threaten the man, certainly. But just very, very upset with some of the things that he's done. And so this is not anything new. You know, he's like a bad penny, pops up. He's very quiet. You know, you don't hear from Tom Tillis when you would hope to. And he had nothing that I can't recall anything that stood out that he had to say about the January 6th folks and the things that they were enduring. But I believe that President Trump was determined to pardon these folks because of just the awful way that they were treated. So many were absolutely innocent, locked up months on end. But even the ones who probably had some guilt there, I think he figured that the whole business was tainted and ugly, and it was time to do something about it.
No doubt about that, Tim, and I think a lot of that played into it. All right, got to take a break here. Thanks for that call. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, America. Folks, hey, head over right away to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Pre-order a copy of my new book coming out. It'll be out June 17th in bookstores across America. The name of the book, it's Star-Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It is a devotion book for the entire family, and it really teaches a lot of lessons about American history that you may not have known about. And it talks about I write a lot in the book about how God has blessed America. And it's an inspirational book. It's not a political book, but it really is a reminder that we are one nation under God. And I hope you'll get a copy of it. We also put in some great recipes as well. Great inspirational thoughts. Star-Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. So our Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, out there, and making some headlines over the past couple of days. And Hegseth speaking to our special forces. And one of the things I love about Hegseth is that he is very, he speaks very plainly. And here's what he had to say about the current state of affairs in President Trump's military.
We are leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns. No more climate change obsession, no more emergency vaccine mandates, no more dudes in dresses. We're done with that.
Yeah, and the applause was really remarkable. But I think, especially within the military, people are done. They're just tired of it. They're tired of the wokeness. They're tired of the drag queens on the Navy ships. They're tired of all this pronoun nonsense, and they're tired of a military that disrespects men, young men, and especially young white men. And Hegseth is saying those days are over now. The idea that we're going to have troops that are overweight, that can't run a mile, no, those days are over as well. And Hegseth has really done a great job of changing and boosting the morale. And many of you who have sons or daughters or grandsons, granddaughters in the military right now, you know what I'm talking about. Just a few days ago, last Friday, I was coming back from an event and passed in front of a recruitment station in South Haven, Mississippi. That's right across the state line from Memphis. And there was literally a line out the door of young men waiting to sign up for the military. That was not happening under Joe Biden. So something else is going on here. And it just seems to me that a lot of it has to do with respect. Respect has been restored to the U.S. military. And now a lot of young men are saying, you know what? Yeah, this is something that I could be a part of. This is something that I would like to be a part of. You know, another thing that Hegseth is doing, and he's getting rid of the bloat. Now, back during World War II, there were only 7 four-star generals. In World War II, right, we were fighting the Japanese, we were fighting the Germans, only 7 four-star generals. By the way, those generals, George C. Marshall, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and Henry Arnold, Hap Arnold. What I find fascinating is there are, over 3 dozen four-star generals now. And why is that? So Hegseth just announced yesterday that he's cutting the number of four-star generals. Take a listen.
We're back with more DOD reforms. This one is General and Flag Officer Reductions. That's the official title. My title is Less Generals, More GIs. It's a historic one, and it's in keeping with President Trump's commitment to achieving peace through strength. We're going to shift resources from bloated headquarters elements to our warfighters. Let's take a bit of a trip down memory lane. In history, when we were fighting across the globe during World War II, we had a force that was 12 million strong. For that 12 million man element, we had 17 four- and five-star generals. Today, we have 2.1 million service members with 44 four-star and flag officers. So it used to be a ratio of 1 general to 6,000 troops. Today, it's 1 general to 1,400. More generals and admirals does not equal more success. Now, this is not a slash-and-burn exercise meant to punish high-ranking officers. Nothing could be further from the truth. This has been a deliberative process, working with the Joint Chiefs of Staff with one goal, maximizing strategic readiness and operational effectiveness by making prudent reductions in the general and flag officer ranks. So there's 2 phases here. Phase 1, we're looking at our current service structure. And in phase 2, it's a strategic review of the unified command plan. Now, this is going to be, we think, the most comprehensive review since the Goldwater-Nichols Defense Reorganization Act of 1986. That was a generational change in combat command structures, planning, training, geographic areas of responsibility, mission, and operational responsibilities. So as I said, it's going to happen in 2 phases. The result of phase 1 is a minimum of 20% reduction of 4-star and flag officers for active duty elements and a minimum of 20% reduction of general and flag officers in the National Guard Bureau. Phase 2 will produce a minimum of an additional 10% reduction of overall general and flag officers throughout the DOD in conjunction with a realignment of the unified command plan. It's going to be done carefully, but it's going to be done expeditiously. We confront a complex and evolving threat environment. We cannot afford to wait. We got to be lean and mean. And in this case, it means general officer reductions.
I'm a huge fan of this. And good for you, Pete Hegseth. They've been talking about this for a very long time now. There's just too much bloat, too many 4- and 5-star generals. And you heard Hegseth giving you the joint totals there. But I'm telling you that this is going to be met with great joy among the rank and file. Also, we have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
So the Supreme Court has now ruled the Trump administration may start enforcing a ban on transgender troops. And this is a great, great thing. Again, we've got these lower courts that are being weaponized to try and stop or slow down the Trump administration's agenda. But the Supreme Court ruling that the Trump administration just moments ago may start enforcing a ban on transgender troops serving in the military. Lower courts had blocked the White House. The ruling was brief, unsigned, and gave no reasons, which is typical when the justices act on emergency applications, this coming from the New York Times. It will remain in place while challenges to the ban move forward. The court's 3 liberal members, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, noted dissents but provided no reasoning. The case concerns an executive order issued on the first day of the President Trump's second term. It revoked an order from President Biden that let transgender service members serve openly. Now, here's what gets me, and this is where I'm a little put off here by all of this. This is something the president did day one, well over 100 days into the administration, and these courts are thwarting the president's agenda. So at some point, when are we going to go back and start punishing these courts? And the House could do that, actually, by doing one of two things or both. Number one, impeaching these judges. Number two, defunding these courts. They've got the power to do both, but right now they're not doing anything. All right, so there you go. Great news again. The Supreme Court saying Trump does have a right to ban transgender troops from serving. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, President Trump may be getting ready to step in and save college sports. The president considering an executive order that could increase scrutiny of these NILs. For those of you who are not involved in college sports, that's what we call name, image, likeness, and it is killing college sports right now. The president meeting with Coach Nick Saban, the great legendary University of Alabama head coach, former head coach, and they met last week in Tuscaloosa. Saban won a record 7 national championships as a college football coach, and he has been a vocal opponent of the way NIL has been implemented. So the question is, should President Trump get involved with NIL? And Dylan, I know you're a huge sports guy, especially what, college football?
Yes.
And I see it hurting basketball more so than football, but I may be mistaken here.
Yeah, I think both sports are being affected by it. I pay attention more towards the football side, more towards like players that just aren't sticking around for 4 years, and it just kind of ruined the sport because, you know, it's never the same person.
Is it Baylor? One of the schools, they're not going to have a returning player next year in basketball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the University of Memphis, I mean, here locally, we've lost 2 of our star players, you know, just to NIL.
So they're getting millions and millions of dollars.
Yes. Some of these college players are making more than some NFL players NBA players.
With really nothing to show. I mean, it's all about really taking a gamble on these players.
Yeah. And I mean, it starts in high school too, right? Because they're seniors in high school.
Wow.
Think about being a senior and having to make a decision based off of how much millions of dollars you possibly could get.
So the argument is, well, the coaches are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. But they're coaches and these are student athletes. And
yeah.
I mean, the student part has been completely eliminated.
Right. Yeah. Because we're basically just treating this as another professional sport.
Semi-pro, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's college. You got to, let's get real here. These are 21, 20-year-old, 19-year-olds. So it's really not fair to them. I think it's ruining the sport. And for the viewer, it's harder because you're just seeing some of these teams that are good all the time only because they have so much money to give out.
I don't know if anybody has – since I've been back in Memphis, I don't know if there's anybody who's been the full 4 years at the University of Memphis. And we have a great basketball program under Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. It's very rare to see that. I will say props to Memphis football. Like Seth Hennigan, our quarterback, he was one of the only players that stuck around for 4 years.
Is that right?
One of the only.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. So the question is, what is the president going to do? I mean, are they going to put some limitations? Because right now, it's like the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah. I think it would be helpful if he stepped in because something has to happen. And I don't think these, you know, the college game of sports is going to do anything about it because they're also making money.
Oh, big time, big time. But again, the fans are the ones ultimately suffering.
Yes.
In all of this. And the question then becomes, okay, do the fans even really matter?
Right.
Because for a lot of these folks, and even for like, I'll just say the Memphis Tigers, they play to a nearly empty stadium, you know, arena on Sundays. And the reason why is it's part of the TV deal. So yep. they're getting the TV money, even if there are very few people in the seats in the stands. And the reason why is because most everybody's at church on Sundays.
Well, that's true.
Or they don't want to get, you know, or it's an earlier morning game. And for whatever reason, have you noticed U of M students don't go to the games?
That's a big problem. Yeah, I've noticed, even when I was a student and I was in the band, so I got to go and it was fun. But the student section was not. You see some of these other college, you know, football, basketball, the student section's huge. We don't have that.
No, I mean, you look at Ole Miss, yeah, or, you know, I will say this, ACC, they've got great, you know, great fan bases.
Yeah.
And younger people. I mean, when you look at the University of Memphis, it is a mostly older crowd.
Yes, very old. But, you know, I don't know. Somebody, are we a college town? Maybe, maybe not.
Somebody said, how come they don't stand up and cheer? They can't. It's hard. They've got old knees, bad backs.
It doesn't get very loud in there.
No, it really doesn't. But again, to that point, if you were to step back and say, okay, you know what? We are going to pay. We're going to pay all the you're going to get a free education. Or, I mean, again, that education does come at a cost. So you've got to factor that in and give them, you know, a weekly stipend or whatever. And I think that would be a fair thing, but they would have to commit to all 4 years at that school.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's about education anymore for some of these high school guys coming into college, because they've been told that they're the best thing since sliced bread and they're going to be the next NFL star. And time after time again, and not that many people make it in the NFL, not that many people make it to pro. So you're investing so much money into these college athletes and their education's taking a fault. And then what are they going to do after college?
901-260-5926. Interested in your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926. And again, I mean, you're talking about 18, 19-year-old kids getting, what, millions of dollars. They're going to do stupid stuff, right? I mean, you're a kid and you got that much money. Yeah, you're going to be stupid. No doubt about it. And you're going to make decisions that are based on the money and not necessarily what is best for you. Because, again, let's just say you're the best athlete in the world. You've got a shelf life. If you're going into the NFL, you're going into the NBA, you got a shelf life. The knees, the ankles, they're only going to last for so long. The body can only take so many hits. So you've got to play it smart. And a lot of that goes back to a very simple thing, getting an education. What are you going to do after you can't play sports? And that was the reason that you had student athletes. And over the years, the student part of that kept getting the short end of the stick. And now I think it's safe to say there's just no such thing as students anymore that are athletes. Unless you're like on the golf team or something like that. By the way, how long before the NCAA comes in and says, hey, look, you've got to pay the same amount of NIL money to your female athletes? What happens at that point? Because nobody wants to have that uncomfortable conversation that nobody cares about women's sports. And they really don't. I mean, even the WNBA, the luster is kind of wearing off of that, right? With Caitlin Clark, it's kind of like, all right, anybody else? They got any other stars? I don't think they do. So if the president can, and by the way, Trump loves football. He is a huge sports guy. And Trump back in the day owned a USFL team, which is how he and Herschel Walker got connected years ago. What was it? The New Jersey Generals. That was it.
I didn't know about this.
Mm-hmm. Trump owned the team.
That's very cool.
And so that's really his play here, is that he loves football. And it was a great – look, it was a great team. That was back when the USFL was a lot of fun. You had the Memphis Showboats, and then it all fell apart. A lot of people blame Trump for it falling apart, too, by the way. But it was that was back when the USFL was a great thing, until the UFL – now it's called the UFL. And is it The Rock? Is The Rock owns a big part. By the way, he was on ESPN just the other day, and he never said anything about his own league. How do you go on ESPN and you don't – I'm telling you, the UFL, it's a short-term thing. Nobody's going to the games in Memphis.
He's an actor. He's a wrestler.
That's it.
Well, he did play football, but...
Well, he did, yeah. I forgot about that.
It just seems like he's not very interested in the sport, the league that he's bought.
Fair enough. All right, folks, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax 2. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can watch on the Newsmax 2 YouTube channel. You can watch on the OTT platforms, or just go to Newsmax.com, and you can watch the show live on the right-hand side of the page. Folks, been a great day. A lot of breaking news today. We've got it all covered over at ToddStearns.com. Get out there. You be good, America.